as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you Huskies!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker Puffed Rice. It's nice. And when you hear that shooting, you're darn tootin' that Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
Yes, they're exploded up, up, up to 8 times normal size. That's what happens to delicious Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat when they're shot from guns. That's why these choice, flavor-rich premium grains are so crisp and tender. That toasty nut-like flavor. For a deluxe treat, eat delicious Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat.
On King! On, you Huskies!
Instead of heading for Dawson after leaving Grand Ledge, Sergeant Preston and Constable Downey headed across country toward Blizzard Creek and the little town of Snowball at its mouth. The pale winter sun dropped below the horizon, and it began to snow. But every landmark was familiar to King, and he raced on and on. The hours passed. The white miles dropped behind. And finally, as they topped a rise, the snow stopped. And Sergeant Preston shouted,
"Only a couple of miles more, Jim."
"Good. What's the matter with King? Looking back at you."
"A couple of travelers ahead of us on top the next hill. See them?"
"Now I do. There they go over the hill. Must be heading to Snowball, too."
"I suppose so."
"Hey, King's stepping up the pace. Isn't it a strange thing, Sergeant, the way dogs can sense they're nearing the end of the trail? The way they know there's warmth and food waiting for them?"
"King's interested in something else."
"Something else? What?"
"I don't know. Something on top of the hill. Dark spot on the snow there. Look where I'm pointing."
"What could it be?"
"We'll soon find out."
It soon became apparent that the dark spot in the snow was a man.
"Looking! Hurry, Husky! Hello!"
When the sergeant had stopped the team, he ran to his side.
"Is he dead?"
"No. As far as I can make out, there's nothing wrong with him. Seems to be sleeping."
"Yes.
The way he's breathing, I think he's been drugged. I'll put him on the sled and cover him up. There's some trees over there. Would you cut some wood and make a fire?"
"Right."
"And you better make some tea."
"You're going after those two men we saw up here?"
"Of course."
"I can still see them. Just disappearing over the next rise. And snowshoes."
"I'll travel on skis. Won't take me long to catch them."
The sergeant was wearing a caribou parka with a heavy fur hood. He realized there was nothing about his appearance to lend him authority. And so, when he was within hailing distance of the two men, about half a mile from the spot where he had left the constable and the sleeping man, he shouted a command.
"Stop in the name of the law!"
The command was obeyed. The two parka-clad figures stopped at the foot of a partially wooded slope and turned to wait for the sergeant. It was not until he stopped a few feet from them that he saw one of them was a girl.
"You're a policeman?"
"Sergeant Preston, Northwest Mounted."
"Why, what do you want with us, Sergeant?"
"My partner and I saw you standing over that man we found back on the trail."
"We don't know anything about him."
"Oh, you simply found him lying in the snow and did nothing about it?"
"Well, we saw you coming, Sergeant. Traveling by sled, we knew you'd have camping equipment and that you'd make good care of him."
"Who are you?"
"My name is Ann Maitland. I live with my Uncle Steve in Snowball."
"And you?"
"Chris Graham. I'm a friend of her uncle's."
"And you don't know anything about that man back on the trail?"
"Oh, I told you."
"Tell the truth, Chris."
"Well, man's name is Bill Rice."
"So you do know him?"
"He's a friend of Ann's. He's been ill, just recovered from a siege of pneumonia.
Ann heard he'd left town. She knew he was in no condition to hit the trail, so she came to me, persuaded me to try to reach him, bring him back. We just found him when we saw you coming.
Why did you run away?
Well, I didn't want to get mixed up in the business.
You realize he's been drugged?
I had nothing to do with it.
Why did you run away, Miss Maitland?
I didn't want to, Sergeant. Chris was afraid that you'd accuse him of trying to murder Bill. But believe me, Sergeant, we had nothing to do with his being drugged, with his being carried out here to... Oh, dear.
So he didn't just hit the trail?
I'm not going to accuse anybody of anything.
Well, you'd better come back with me.
Gladly, Sergeant.
When Bill regains consciousness, we'll see if he has any accusations to make. Walk ahead of me, if you please.
The girl and the burly bearded man started walking ahead of the sergeant. King, who had been standing close to his master, lingered a moment. His nose pointed toward the patch of woods on which the sergeant had turned his back. Suddenly, a rifle crashed.
Oh, no!
The sergeant dropped to the ground.
Chris, he's been shot. Quick, see how badly he's been hurt.
Get down.
But the sergeant...
Look, Steve and Red coming out of the woods.
Do they mean to shoot us, too?
Ann, Chris, come here.
No! Chris, we can't leave the sergeant.
Hurry up or you'll stop, Red.
All right.
Chris.
Come on. They don't know about the constable. He'll take care of Bill. And he must have heard the shot. He'll find the sergeant.
I'm afraid he's dead.
Next time I won't fire over your head. Come here.
Come on.
King knew the man and the girl had nothing to do with the shot that had felled his master, and he paid no attention to them as they hurried up the slope toward the woods. His only concern was his master. The sergeant was still breathing, but he was badly hurt, and somehow King must help him. There was nothing the dog could do himself. He must bring the sergeant's friend, the constable, at once. King raised his head to the sky and howled. Then he started to run. Constable Downey had heard the shots and King's howling just as he lit the campfire. He decided the sergeant might need his help and tossed his axe and matches into the grub box. Then he tucked the blankets more securely around the unconscious man lying on the sled and prepared to move on. The man stirred.
Where am I? Sorry, coming out of it a little.
What?
Never mind, don't try to talk.
King charged up and over the hill straight at the constable.
What's the matter, boy?
King tugged at the constable's parka. Then he ran to the team and barked a command for them to get to their feet. Back he went to the constable and barked up into his face.
Something's happened to the sergeant, boy. All right, we'll get moving. Up in front.
Who are you?
Constable Downey, Northwest Mounted. Go on, King. Lead the way. Marsh!
It only took a few minutes to reach the sergeant, and the constable went to work with his first aid kit at once. After bandaging the sergeant's head, he built another fire and made tea. By the time he was ready to offer a cup to Bill Rice, the effects of the drug were wearing off.
Here, drink this.
Thanks. Who's the wounded man?
Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant Preston, huh? I wonder who shot him.
It must have been one of the men he went after.
Oh, Jim.
Sergeant.
There weren't two men. One man and a girl. Neither of them could have shot me. I'd started them back to our camp, and I was behind them. The shot came from behind me.
There's some woods up on the slope.
Probably came from up there. How is it, the bullet wound?
Oh, not bad. Not deep at all. The hood of your parka saved you.
I'm beginning to feel better. I think a cup of hot tea would fix me up.
Sure, sure thing. Yeah.
Ah, it tastes good. Now, Bill, let's have your story.
How do you know my name?
Suppose you answer my questions first, and then I'll answer yours. You any idea how you happened to be out there?
No, Sergeant. I've been trying to think. The last I remember, I was playing cards in the back room of the Aces Wild Cafe.
With whom were you playing?
Joe, Pete, Red Foreman, Steve Maitland.
All friends?
You might call them that.
Well, I don't think I would. You were drugged and left out in the cold to die.
Drugged? The coffee. I thought it tasted funny.
What about the coffee?
I wasn't drinking anything. Red suggested coffee and got a pot from Barney Duran, who owns the cafe.
You drank it, and that's all you'll remember.
That's all.
Why should anyone want to kill you, Bill?
I don't know.
It might be a little more helpful. Can you think of any possible reason?
No, Sergeant.
Did you have much gold on you?
No. Well, let me see. Well, my poke hasn't been touched.
Now, what do you know about the men you were playing cards with? What do they do for a living?
They prospect, more or less.
Is it more or less?
Well, they talked about the prospecting they'd done last summer around Blizzard Creek. Now they're wintering in Snowball, waiting for the spring breakup to try their luck again.
So they haven't had much luck?
No. Well, Sergeant, I can't tell you much about them. I never saw any of them until a month ago. My own claim is way up on Roaring River. Blizzard caught me on the way down here. It was Steve Maitland's niece, Anne, who nursed me. She saved my life. I wonder.
Wonder what?
Could Steve have found out that Anne and I plan to get married? Could he have objected so much?
Do you trust Anne Maitland completely?
Of course.
But how do you explain this? When we first saw you, Anne and a man called Chris Graham were bending over you. When they saw us, they tried to run away.
Anne left me to die?
Her story is she saw us coming and knew we'd take care of you. Still, it's an odd way for the girl to act if she's in love with you.
She couldn't have left me willingly. Chris must have forced her to go.
Why would he do that?
I don't know. Unless he had something to do with my being drugged. I'm only sure that Anne had nothing to do with it.
At the moment, I'm not sure of anything except that this is a case of attempted murder. Jim.
Yes, Sergeant?
We'd better forget motives until we find out more about what happened at the Aces Wild after Bill was drugged. We'll make the cafe our first stop.
Well, you'd better take it easy for a while.
I shall. I'll ride the sled with Bill. Would you give me a hand?
All right, Sergeant.
Thanks. Up front, King. Let's go, Jim.
Mush!
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. When you're traveling in the Yukon, you never can tell what kind of a scary adventure you're going to have next. Like one time when it was just about dark, and I was on the way back from a gold mining camp. I was just about to... Whoa, there. It's an ambush. I'm trapped.
All right, don't make a move if you want to stay healthy. I'm after one thing. That there gold.
Gold? I don't have any gold.
Come on, quit stalling. What's in them packages?
Oh, well, that's the swellest tasting ready-to-serve breakfast cereal in the Yukon or anywhere. It's the cereal shot from guns.
What? Guns. I got you covered. Drop them guns.
I meant that Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice are shot from guns.
What kind of guns are those?
Say, when the choice premium grains of wheat and rice are shot from those guns, they're exploded up to 8 times normal size.
What? 8 times?
You betcha. That makes them bigger and better tasting. They're crisp, tender, with bang-up nut-like flavor, too, in every mouthful.
But I'm after gold, buddy. How do I know there's Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice in them packages you're carrying?
That's easy to prove. Just take a look at these famous red and blue Quaker packages.
Ah, so that's the way to get the real McCoy.
It sure is. As you fellas and girls know, too, your appetite strikes it rich when you pour out a heaping bowlful of those tenderly crisp, melt-in-your-mouth kernels and top them with milk or cream and sliced bananas or other fruit. What's more, Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice give you fellas and girls added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. So every morning, enjoy this delicious, nourishing treat. Quaker popped rice or Quaker popped wheat. Now to continue. The sergeant had completely recovered by the time the constable stopped the team in front of the Aces Wild Cafe.
Oh, whoever!
Need any help, Bill?
No, thanks.
Bill Rice was also feeling much better, and he entered the cafe with the sergeant and the constable.
Who's the proprietor?
Barney Duran. There he is, behind the bar.
Duran?
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
I'm Sergeant Preston, Northwest Mounted Police. You can tell me all you know about a card game in the back room of this cafe early this evening.
Why, Bill here was playing. Why don't you ask him?
He's told me all he knows. What do you know?
Well, nothing much. There were 4 of them beside Bill. There was Joe, Pete, Red, and Steve. About 7 o'clock, Red came out and asked for a pot of coffee. I gave it to him, and he went back to the game. About 8 o'clock, I looked in to see if they wanted anything, and the room was empty.
Well, how could they leave without your seeing them?
Well, that's easy. Must have left for the rear door. Didn't you, Bill?
He wasn't conscious when he left. We found him lying on a hill about 2 miles south of town. He'd been drugged and left there to die.
Why, the dirty crooks. They're after your cash, Bill.
What do you know about my cash?
Nothing, except what I overheard Steve and Red saying.
What did they say?
Well, I only caught a few words. Something about your having more gold than you brought into town. That you'd cashed most of it on the way here from your claim.
How could they have found out about it?
Well, didn't you ever mention it?
I've mentioned the cash to just one person since I've been here.
Ann Maitland.
Yes, and she wouldn't... She couldn't.
Told her uncle?
She hates Steve Maitland. He's treated her badly ever since she was a child.
Tell me this, Bill. When you told Ann, could it have been possible for Steve Maitland to overhear you?
Not all of it.
Now, what do you mean, not all of it?
Well, I was staying in their cabin then. I was still mighty sick. I thought I was going to die. Ann had been so kind, I wanted to do something for her. I told her about the cash and that I wanted her to have it. She tried to make me keep quiet. She said it was always dangerous to talk about gold. But there was no telling what... Yes, Sergeant. Steve was in the cabin at the time, but he was in the front room. Well, still, he could have heard.
Barney.
Not all of it, though, Sergeant. When I told Ann where the cash was, I whispered.
Barney, have you seen Maitland within the last 2 hours?
Why, no, Sergeant. He hasn't been in here.
Will you take us to his cabin, Bill?
Of course.
I'd suggest we make it fast.
Looking!
Hurry, Husker!
But the Maitland cabin was dark, and the door was padlocked.
Where is Red Foreman's cabin, Bill?
The other end of town.
Oh.
They might have driven on if it hadn't been for King. He growled low in his throat and began to scratch at the door.
You'd better investigate, Sergeant.
Yes, Jim.
The sergeant picked up a rock and broke the lock. Once inside the cabin, King headed straight for the far corner of the front room. The sergeant and Bill followed him as Constable Downey lit the lamp on the table. There was a man lying on the floor.
It's Chris Graham.
Yes. Been shot in the chest. Bring the lamp over here, Jim.
Just a second.
There isn't much we can do for him. It's close to the heart.
Sergeant Preston.
Yes, Chris?
Alive. We thought...
The bullet didn't do much more than knock me out. Who shot you?
Ann
shot
you. No, they've got her. They've taken her with them. I tried to stop them. Red shot me. It was Steve Maitland who shot you, Sergeant.
Where have they taken Ann?
After your gold, Bill.
She told them?
No, but they know it's somewhere near the head of the creek. They were going to make her tell when they got there. After they're heading for the border.
Sergeant, we've got to get after them.
Sergeant, let me tell you everything. There isn't much time.
I'm listening.
Through the years, Steve and I have been mixed up in a lot of shady deals. Confidence games, that sort of thing. We've been partners, but lately he's found new friends who'll stop at nothing. So I've been through with Steve since last summer. But I've stuck around because I think the world of Ann. She's a sweet kid. And Steve's given her a rough time. Wanted to stand by her until she... Well, until she got married. Until she had someone else to take care of her. About tonight, she found out what they'd done to Bill. She came to me, asked me to help her find him. We'd have stayed with him, built a fire, done what we could for him if you hadn't come along, Sergeant. I recognize your lead dog.
That was why you ran away?
I was afraid you'd accuse me of trying to murder Bill. Anne didn't want to leave him. She loves him. I made her leave with me.
Take it easy.
No, tell you everything. Steve and Red found out we'd left town. They guessed why. Came after us. Steve recognized you just as I did. He shot you. He made us come back to town with him.
I think that gives us the complete story.
One thing more. Tell Anne not to waste any sympathy on Steve.
How could she?
Wait. When her mother and father died, left a lot of money. Steve was made guardian. He spent the money. Took Anne up here before she was of age so he wouldn't have to make accounting to court. Tell Anne, don't feel sorry. Say goodbye for me. And good luck.
He's gone?
Yes, Bill.
He must save Ann.
They'll kill her as soon as they lay hands on the gold.
I'm going after them alone.
There are four of them.
I'll make better time alone.
All right, Sergeant. I'll get another team and follow you.
I'm coming, too. I can't stay here when Anna's in danger.
Help Jim find a team.
I sure will.
Where is your cache?
You know the waterfall at the head of the creek?
Yes.
Half a mile to the west, there's some caves. A whole series that lead from one to another way back into the mountain.
Oh, the Cave of the Winds.
That's what they call it. My gold's in the third cavern from the opening.
And knows the exact location?
Yes.
Good enough. Come on, King.
Ho! Ho, you dog! Ho!
Anne Maitland had been bound hand and foot during the trip up Blizzard Creek. But now that the cave was reached, Steve cut the ropes.
All right, get her.
What do you want me to do now?
You're coming in with us.
What for? I've told you all I know.
Come on. Got the lantern, Red?
Yeah, I'm coming, Steve. Joe, you and Pete better stay here.
Not a chance. We're coming with you.
All right, make it snappy. Now then, Anne, where is it?
He said the Cave of the Winds.
This mountain's honeycombed with caves.
Well, it's probably here, in the first one. You know the condition Bill was in when he got to Snowball. Ill, exhausted. He wouldn't waste time hiding his gold.
Makes sense, Steve.
I'll hold the lantern high. We'll start looking.
Sergeant Preston had stopped his team half a mile away from the Cave of the Winds. And he and King continued on alone. The dogs had pulled the outlaw's sled, started barking as they neared the entrance of the cave. But King's menacing growl silenced them. He and the sergeant entered the cave. The sergeant was carrying a small hurricane lantern, but he didn't light it. Instead, he grasped King's harness.
Find them, boy.
The great dog understood that he was to find the man whose trail they'd been following, and he started forward without hesitation. Away from the entrance to the caverns, it was pitch black. But King easily found the passage leading to the second cave.
Easy, King.
They crossed the second cave. The passage leading on to the third was narrower and longer than the previous one. It made a turn, and as they started around it, the sergeant saw a glimmer of light ahead. He restrained King even more and edged along the side of the passage. The outlaws had found Bill's cache.
Well, Anne, your sweetheart did well last summer. Too bad he couldn't live to enjoy it.
You'll never live to enjoy it.
Think not, Anne.
I know it. You say you're not afraid of anyone in Snowball coming after you. Well, let me tell you this. Sergeant Preston wasn't alone. He was traveling with another policeman. He'll be coming after you.
Why didn't you tell us before?
Because I hoped you'd be caught. And you will be, too. The Northwest Mounted always get their man.
Time we got rid of you, sister.
Red raised his lantern high in one hand and his other closed on the butt of his gun. The sergeant took careful aim.
Oh, my arm!
He fired. Red dropped both gun and lantern to clutch his right arm. The lantern broke and the oil running out caught on fire, casting weird shadows against the far wall of the cave and transforming the outlaws' faces into masks of terror. Steve, Joe, and Pete were going for their guns, but Ann was in the sergeant's line of fire, staring into the dim passage where the shot had come from.
Ann, get down!
The girl dropped to the ground just as the outlaws leveled their guns, but the sergeant's gun spoke first. Three shots, and each one of them found their mark, the same mark in each case, the right arm. And before the outlaws had a chance to retrieve the guns they had been forced to drop, the sergeant and King ran into the cavern.
Don't make a move for those guns, or I'll shoot to kill.
Sergeant, I've given up hope.
It's all right now, Anne. These men are under arrest in the name of the Crown.
The outlaws were marched out of the cave. Anne kept them covered while the sergeant built a fire, and then he bandaged their wounds. The task had just been finished when Constable Downey and Bill drove up.
Oh, ho, on!
Bill ran straight to Anne and took her in his arms.
Anne!
Oh, Bill!
Ah, you're safe. There's nothing to worry about now.
Well, since you're still alive, Mr. Rice, I can't see that we have much to worry about either. At least the charge can't be murder.
It can be, and it is, Maitland. You're charged with the murder of Chris Graham.
You found him.
And found him before he died. He told us everything. The last words of a dying man are always admitted as evidence in a court of law. And Graham's testimony will send all four of you to the gallows. This case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure.
Stop! Look! Listen!
Yes, mothers and dads, fellas, girls, everybody. Here's a super idea for the whole family's breakfast tomorrow morning. First, pour out a heaping bowlful of delicious, crisp, nourishing Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice. Then cover it with milk or thick, rich yellow cream. Top it with sliced bananas, chilled peaches, or apricots. Then take a big spoonful. And that crisp, tender, swell-tasting Quaker Puffed Wheat or rice is a super treat that can't be beat. You can't beat the toasty, nut-like flavor of the good, natural grain. You can't beat the sun-ripened, natural flavor that old Mother Nature puts into it. Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice are never coated with factory sweetening. And that's the beauty of it. Your whole family can sweeten them with sugar to suit their own special taste. Remember, too, there's added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron in every spoonful your family eats. So every morning, let your whole family enjoy the one shot from gun. Delicious Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat. At your store tomorrow, look for the big red and blue packages with a sealed inner lining that keeps Quaker Puffed Wheat and Rice as crisp as can be. And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant Preston reporting for duty, Inspector.
You're leaving on patrol, aren't you, Sergeant?
Yes, sir. I'm heading for Salmon River.
A prospector named Sam Raymond will travel with you on the way back. He's requested police protection from Salmon River to Dawson.
Well, why does he need protection?
He'll be carrying more than $20,000 in gold and currency. Your job is to see that his trip is a safe one.
I'll do my best, sir.
Trouble comes from an unexpected source when Sam Raymond's ex-partner, a man named Rocky, turns criminal to get the $20,000. Rocky knows that he and Preston are equally matched for strength and endurance. But he also knows that he has an advantage because he is willing to commit murder. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Enterprises, directed by Fred Flowerday, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at the same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns.
Hello, folks. This is your friend Aunt Jemima. How long since you had pancakes? Aunt Jemima pancakes. So light they melt in your mouth. Fix some tonight. They're the lightest pancakes ever because my Aunt Jemima pancake mix is now Fluff Whip for extra lightness. Serve, folks, stacks of Aunt Jemima pancakes. Lightest pancakes anyone can bake. You just add milk and stir. Before you know it, you're a-serving up those Aunt Jemima light pancakes. Those golden stacks of butter-melting pancakes. Folks can eat them morning, noon, or night. There's nothing more tempting in this whole wide world than Aunt Jemima's pancakes light. And say, have some for supper today.
Listen tomorrow at this same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, Delicious Orange Crush. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.